But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm one of those guys that if you want something done right, do it yourself. Those kind of guys. Now, if you didn't know, that phrase is generally attributed to Napoleon Bonaparte, that French revolutionary who achieved many victories. He enacted many decrees, but he did it all by deciding himself. You know what? Psychology calls that do-it-yourself mentality, preventing leveraging the unique skills of others, and also being afraid to delegate tasks to others for fear that they will do it wrong, do it the wrong way. Now, biblically speaking, that's called radical self-reliance. Now, sometimes it may be a need, sometimes, that you're the only one who can do it. However, taken as a life principle, that just tends towards perfectionism, control, and isolation. But I must make confession. I don't like help, except for one exception. I hate moving without help. I will always hire movers when relocating houses. But the truth is, even if I wanted to do it all by myself, it would be impossible without help, because I sure can't lift the washer and dryer down from the second floor, is where it's at in our house, down the stairs alone. Any type of heavy furniture, anything too wide for my arms to reach, that kind of help is definitely necessary. And help does make life a little easier. Or, as wise King Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. Now, those of you who have ever worked out lifting weights at the gym know sometimes that you need help. You need a spotter, right, who stands with you so that you don't injure yourself in those times where you can't push the bar up all the way on that last repetition that you gotta get through. You need a spotter. And there are times where personal responsibility is at play. It's necessary. But I tell you, the Christian life is not one of autonomy or self-sufficiency. What it is it is faithful stewardship under God. When the do-it-yourself mentality becomes absolute, it can express pride. Only I can do this correctly. And that breeds distrust and also a failure to recognize others' vocations. In the church, it can lead to refusal to live as a member of the body. See, we are dependent. It's how we're created. And sin, what sin does is sin distorts our dependence on God. It distorts also our mutual service with one another in the body of Christ. And so it takes a lot of humility to receive help from others. What about in the subject of faith? Faith requires belief and trust. And I say radical trust because apart from Christ, you can do nothing. And that nothing part here is important. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't change your oil on yourself, by yourself, that you can't build a business, raise a family, or accomplish civic good. It means that you cannot create faith. You cannot produce fruits pleasing to God. You cannot persevere in salvation. Those things are pretty big delegations. And if you try to do any of them alone, you'll never get it right. Spiritual matters, man is incapable, apart from the Holy Spirit, of getting it right. So therefore, the Christian life is a reception to being receptive before it is active. And so Jesus makes a great promise to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Though The Holy Spirit is not absent in Scripture until now. The Holy Spirit's there even before Pentecost. Jesus prepares the disciples multiple times for him sending the Helper to them. Spirit goes all the way back to creation. Spirit is involved in creation. Likewise, throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit inspires leaders, makes craftsmen, prophets, and is involved in the everyday lives of ordinary people to make them godly. And guess what? The Spirit also will be involved in the final judgments. So way before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was active in things like, how about the conception of Jesus? Remember, the angel said, "You will be filled with the Holy Spirit, will come upon you." John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit as well. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. The prophet Simeon, instructed by the Holy Spirit. How about Jesus being led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, into temple courts? And then he bequeathed the Spirit upon his disciples when they were afraid and hid in the upper room. He comes to them, goes before them, breathes on them. This is before Pentecost. And he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, why? What's the big deal? The Holy Spirit is necessary for faith. And for a very practical reason. See, while Jesus was physically present with his disciples, they didn't really need to exert any faith in him. He was right there in front of them, beside them. So when Jesus departs, Jesus assigns, delegates a replacement advocate, a helper that would be physically invisible to them. And that requires faith. It was a simple function of human nature that while Jesus was physically present, it would limit their ability to have faith in another advocate that they could not see. And the same thing goes for us. If you have a Napoleon syndrome like me, with someone right in front of you, how hard do you think or easy it is to ask for help from God, who is you cannot see? From his Holy Spirit, how hard is it to ask? You can't see him physically. That's why Jesus makes good on his promise at Pentecost. And the way he does it is spectacular, because that Genesis reading, check this out, he reverses what happens at the Tower of Babel, right? Or Babel, somebody said it like that, because we know what Babel is. The whole earth, what was going on, had one language, but the Trinity says, "Come, let us go down." The Trinity comes down and confuses their languages. Why? Because people wanted to make a name for themselves. Yes, they were working together, but for themselves. Humanity sought a collective form of self-sufficiency apart from God. And so in the Scripture, it says, "Let us," three times. That's what they cried out. "Let us, let us, let us." That's the me, myself, and I mentality that Luther got right by calling it the unholy Trinity. Me, myself, and I. Their own technology, their own organization, their own reputation, and they do not call on the Lord. Total autonomy. At Babel, man seeks to ascend to heaven. See, they wanted security without trusting God, unity without submission to God, and a great name apart from the name that God gives. But at Pentecost, there was a great reversal. Languages confused become one unified tongue. But just for an instance, that was to show the promise came true. The sending of the Helper has come true. They could only hear each other in their own languages. And that only could happen after being filled with the Holy Spirit. And only made possible because God in Christ Jesus first descended from heaven. He lowered himself in the form of a man, being humble. He came in the flesh to bestow his name in person. See, Jesus didn't come to make a name for himself. He came to give his name away. So I need to, we need to, repent of the language in our head that only I can do it. And especially when it comes to faith. You know, I'm sure you've probably done this before. You know those team building retreats and seminars where they do things like they pair you up with somebody, and then they have you turn your back towards them, and then you're instructed to fall back and see if that person will catch you. They usually do that in team building. There's videos, though, now I've seen in memes where people intentionally don't catch the person, and they think that's funny. I think it's ouch. But maybe it's a good example of what it's like when nobody is there. See, the Lord knows this, and he actually gives you a promise, a sign that is sealed, delivered, and guaranteed that he has your back, and he will never let you drop when you fall. He will catch you. He will speak to you in plain language, teach you, bring you to remembrance, and help you to believe. And what happens on Pentecost then becomes a birthday, the birthday of the church, where instead of the Lord dispersing you, he gathers you. He gives you his word, his forgiveness, his sacraments, and a faith worked by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's called the helper. But the word paraclete in the original language literally means a legal advocate. A legal advocate who makes the right judgment call because they are close enough to the situation. Close beside you. You know, that's where we get the phrase, I got your back. But it's us adults who have the hardest time asking for help, isn't it? What about children? Children, on the other hand, not so much. It's built into them from birth that initially they can do nothing on their own, except for breathe, and even that is a gift from God. But the child asks for help more than any creature on earth. Feed me, hold me, do this for me, open this for me, tuck me in. See, children are very helpless of themselves. But you know what? They don't argue in their head over needing help like I do, like we do. They do not know Napoleon language. If you want it done right, then I must do it myself. So there's that one good reason, you could say, that Jesus says in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must become like a little child in need of help from the outside. I remember when I was 5 or 6 years old, probably giving myself too much credit by saying 5, but I was trying to learn to tie my shoes on my own. I don't think it was until first grade that I could do it somewhat good enough. But I wanted to. You know, kids love that feat, right? I wanted to be able to do it on my own. But if the laces come untied, it becomes a tripping hazard. It could get hurt. So it was something that I needed taught to me, that we are taught. Ordinary things, just like tying your shoes, we need taught at first. So now in the church, we need taught as well. There's extraordinary things going on in the church. So it goes from ordinary to extraordinary. You need the Holy Spirit, that ultimate helper. And that's why the church was birthed. We are birthed as community. Community under God, not for ourselves. Community means more than one person. And in order that, through the abundance of others, we might succeed in that which we set forward to accomplish. It's another verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It says, again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Beautiful passage in Ecclesiastes. That's oftentimes very proper, but an optional reading to use during a wedding ceremony. The three-cord strand that cannot be easily broken. It means the husband and wife are threaded into God as the head and tightener of them. In that regard, with the husband and wife talk, let me tell you, I love it when my wife asks me to open a jar that she can't open. especially like the pickle jars and tomato jars, those sauces, right? Because of the pop sound that it comes. What is it like? Something like that. When you get that, you're like, yeah, I'm a man. But let me give you the analogy of the Holy Spirit like that. You are now sealed with the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't mean he doesn't want you to take the top off, to pop it off, to use him, to ask him for help so that you may believe, that you may learn to love him. And he will show you that your tower is God in Christ Jesus. That's your glory, who is given to you through the Holy Spirit, Christ on Spirit. So what happens here today is God's language, his language becomes your language, that you may rise and go from here a better man, a better woman, because you receive the gift with open arms. Holy Spirit is the mover who will move you into your eternal home. He will set your furniture right. He will give you peace. And he doesn't want you to have backaches the next day. So use him. Know that he has been delegated from the Father and the Son so that you may no longer have any fear. So if you want something done right, have the Holy Spirit help you. He'll lead you down the right path, give you the perfect solution. He will be your spotter all the way up to the last repetition, from the font to the grave, and then to your very own ascension. This is the mighty work that every nation should come together and tell. So once again, my confession is I do not like help. Too bad, Pastor. The Holy Spirit is here. You know, let me tell you this. This could be a whole other sermon, but I'll tell it real quick. He confirmed that for me personally this week, because on Wednesday morning, we lost power in the church. I come on, there's alarms going off. I have to silence the fire trouble code because it doesn't have power. I finally call CenterPoint Energy and all that. And before they came out, they gave me the long speech. You better make sure it's not just the breaker or anything like that. So I said, okay, I'm going to come in. I'm going to try all the light switches in here. There is no power in here. No electricity. Nothing is coming on. Nothing in the wires. But they did come and resolve the problem. However, when I was at the light switches over there for the front of the church, flipped them all on, and one light bulb I witnessed came on, shining over that angel. No power in the wires, but this light came on, and what is that angel looking at? Cross. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who points to Jesus, shines for us. That is what I think that angelic symbol was for me, that yes, Pastor, the Holy Spirit is here, and you need to preach that this Sunday. He points you to Jesus. Some people think the Holy Spirit's quiet in the scriptures, right? But he is always in the background. And he's there a lot. He is. He doesn't seek the limelight. He just points to Jesus for you to turn and look to him. Yeah, that guy. So nonetheless, I take it as a sign. Can't convince me otherwise that there just happened to be stored power in that light bulb. But the Holy Spirit gives us these signs as he gives us in his word and his sacraments. But for now, let this Pentecost be a foretaste of all that is to come yet. A life pointed to Jesus, a life of help from the helper of all helpers. He is the third person of the Trinity who calls, gathers, and enlightens the whole church on earth and gives us a birthday to celebrate together. So happy birthday to the church. Happy birthday to you. The blessing of the Helper is here for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.